All right, it's the Hockman and Crowder simulcast on a Wednesday, National Onion Rings Day. Got my partner, Mr. Onion Rings, with me. Onion Rings guy.
Onion Rings guy.
obviously, that's a holiday that would certainly not be missed on this show. Talked a lot in the first hour. If you were listening to us on 560 WQAM during the Loco Hour, 2 till 3, talked a lot about the Panthers' new head coach. And here in the 3 o'clock hour on the simulcast, if you're just joining us on 790 The Ticket, after listening to Jim Rome, welcome aboard. We'll have Paul Severino joining us this hour. Talk a little Marlins baseball with him. 4 o'clock hour today, Goldie, Steve Goldstein. He'll break down the Florida Panthers' new head coach for us. We have a lot of stuff to get to today. And then after today, I'm going to beat it for a couple weeks. I'll see you, I think, July 5th.
Hey, beat it!
And So, and it sounds like Crowder's got the "Hey, beat it" noise going on at his place today.
That I don't know
buzzing
what it is.
Sound.
That's
I don't know.
Buzz. It's a buzz.
You still hear it, Solana?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, there's something going on there.
All my appliances are breaking down.
Well, what are you running during the show? The Cuisinart?
Yeah, the leaf grinder.
Making a smoothie.
Yeah, man, it seems like my oven makes noise. My refrigerator makes noise now. I don't know what it is.
What are you doing the show in your kitchen? How about you move to a quieter room?
You know, good option. I might try that during a break.
He's actually on a riding motor. A riding mower, Solana. Damn it. Screwed up my own joke.
I don't hear anything. I might be. You know what? You get used to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you're in a very noisy house, but you're so used to it. It's like you ever walk into a where was my son? My son and I, we went to Best Buy on Sunday for Father's Day, and then we went right next door to Bed Bath & Beyond. You ever go into a store, and there are those giant fluorescent lights, and all you hear and I go, how on earth could anyone work in here? Because it's all I hear. But I guess if you're there long enough, it just drowns out. But, oh, my God. Some of those big department stores.
Like halogen lights.
Right. Yeah.
Giant. A house with a 10, a 9, and a 2-year-old, noise means nothing to me.
The quieter,
I just keep riding.
It's so disconcerting. Anyway, the NBA draft is tomorrow, and so a couple radio notes. You've got the Stanley Cup Finals tonight. You can hear that. It's game 4. You can hear that on 560 WQAM. The NBA draft is tomorrow, and we've got a draft special for you. It starts at 7 p.m. on 790 The Ticket. So there.
It's a 305.
Dale.
God bless. Dale.
Dale.
Thank you, Jimmy. Jimmy, maybe he can have his mechanic come over, take a look at your room, see what's humming.
Purring like a kitten.
The draft tomorrow officially starts at 7:30 p.m. It's at the Barclays Center, and this will be, they write, the 9th straight in-person NBA draft held at the Barclays Center. The 2020 event was held virtually due to the pandemic. Like I said, we'll have a special on 790 The Ticket. You can listen to it there through the Miami Heat fan prism. The first round of the draft will air on both ABC and ESPN. If you want to watch it on TV, the second round will be shown just on ESPN. And I think Solana mentioned it in the 2 o'clock hour. Orlando has the overall number one selection, and it'll probably be either Jabari Smith or Chet Holmgren. And there you go. That is tomorrow night. It's already snuck up on us. We do have a loaded potato this hour, so let's get to headlines, official headlines, with Alejandro Solana.
The sports update is driven by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Supercenter. Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford, we no trucks. Big news today, Panthers. They will hire Paul Maurice as their new head coach. It's being reported by several different outlets. Also reportedly a three-year deal. He will be replacing interim head coach Andrew Brunette. Maurice has the seventh most wins in NHL history as a head coach.
Yeah, a lot of interesting comments on social media, and I don't give too much credence, you know, to just a fan who's commenting. But I looked at some of the, you know, verified NHL analyst comments, and obviously Paul Maurice has a ton of experience. I was texting with Goldie this morning when the news broke, and Goldie loved it. So I obviously defer to him for hockey knowledge, and he'll join us in the 4 o'clock hour, and we'll get his opinion.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Panthers, Jonathan Huberdeau, he was named to the second-team NHL All-Star team, second straight season that he makes that team.
All right, very good.
One of the reasons we have so much talent, but we're not bringing trophies home. So let's go get a Stanley Cup. That's why you have the talent.
You brought home one trophy this year, right? The President's Trophy. Better than
that
no trophy.
True.
Better than
that
no
is
trophy.
True.
You know what? I want the cup.
Yes, we would prefer the Stanley Cup, but Solana's right. You did bring home a trophy this year, and that is a pretty cool trophy. I mean, it means you're the best team in hockey.
Well, obviously, wasn't good enough for Brunette.
It doesn't mean that you're the best team in hockey. It means you're the best team during the regular season.
Mm-hmm. And what did the President Trophy get Brunette?
Yeah,
fired.
Maybe a front office job. I mean, numerous people. Who did I see? It was Frank Saravalli, who is an NHL insider. He says not only will the Panthers hire Paul Maurice, but he says, source says Andrew Brunette will be offered a, quote, significant role to remain with the team if he's interested. So, you know, again, I said it in the 2 o'clock hour. I'm not certain. I mean, I would imagine if it's a significant role, it's not going to be an assistant coach. So that means it'll be a front office position. But I think it's a weird spot. You got a guy who just led his team to a President's Trophy, and he's, you know, breathing down the neck of a new head coach. It could be interesting, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Tonight, Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals. That's at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. You can hear the game on 560 WQAM.
All right, very good. All right, I'll take a look real quick here. I'm
going to
look real quick here, real quick.
I thought we were going to sneak past this today.
Well, we're back to zero on our totals. I mean, we paid our debts, so, you know, I feel like we've got a lot of leeway here.
I had to sell my socks. I have no socks on. Just foot to shoe right now.
Tampa and Colorado tonight, both minus 110. The over-under is 6 again. It's gone over, I think, all three games, right, Solana?
Yes, the over has hit all three games.
Maybe we bet the over tonight. Want to bet the over tonight?
The precedent is set that, yes, they'll go over 6.
No, but yeah. Law of averages, guys. Law of averages. It's not going to go over every game, right? Like, first three went over. Tonight, it's under. That's the play.
Figure it out by 6 o'clock. Go ahead. What else is in the headline, Solana?
Los Marlins, they beat the Rockies 9-8 yesterday. Should have bet the over there.
Mm-hmm.
They host the Rockies tonight, 6:40 p.m., game 2 of 3. Remember, they have the Mets coming to Lone Depot Park on Friday. They'll play the Rockies again tomorrow. Marlins on a four-game
Yeah, that's one of the reasons that I wanted to bring Paul Severino on before I went on vacation. So Friday, when the Mets are in town, Paul and Tommy Hutton are going to broadcast the game from the stands. You know, they're not going to be in the comfy television booth. They're going to be down, you know, in the stands and getting dirty.
That's interesting. Isn't it going to be a little noisy?
Yeah, you really get the feel. I was going to ask him about it because I remember as a kid when I was growing up on WGN in Chicago, Harry Carey, who was just the greatest, he would do a couple of Cubs games from the bleachers. You ever sat in the Wrigley Field bleachers, Solana?
I've never been to Wrigley Field, unfortunately.
So the bleachers, I mean, it is just, it's a free-for-all. It's like Lord of the Flies in there, Crowder. It's like benches. It's not real seats. And it's just the sun is beating down on you. And I'm telling you, by the seventh inning, no joke, I can probably find pictures of it on the interwebs. Harry Carey would have his shirt off, you know, and he was in his 60s or 70s. He would have his shirt off. He would have seven or eight empty Budweisers in front of him. He was just hammered, slurring. It was the best broadcast. So I'm wondering if Severino and Hutton might do that on Friday.
I believe that's a different time when you can get hammered during the broadcast.
Somebody texts in, get ready for a 0-0 shootout tonight in Tampa. I think the cops are coming to get you.
I'll be back after a while.
Somebody says, Hawk, how long till Crowder refers to the new Panthers coach as Coach Mo? Paul Maurice, Coach Mo.
I'm getting that off today. Why'd you do that to me, Dexter? Don't steal my thunder.
Coach Mo. All right, what else you got, Solana?
Well, Miss Bruno, man. Got to be honest. We'll miss him.
Yeah. Yeah. And Boogeyman.
I tried to mute myself for the police sirens. Okay.
Hawk mentioned it. NBA draft is tomorrow, 8 p.m. Heat have the 27th overall pick. Magic will have the first pick unless there's a trade. And again, you can hear the draft show on 790. The ticket starting at 7 p.m.
Very good.
All right, guys. Finally, an American artist. His name is Paul Pfeiffer. You guys see this? It's going viral. He released a blueprint for the construction of what would be the world's first stadium that seats 1 million people.
Really? No, I didn't. I did not. Did someone pay him to do that, or he just did it on his own?
I think he's a visionary. Paul Pfeiffer.
But is anyone paying him for that vision, or he just said, hey, here's a million-person stadium?
I think he's just creating a concept. You know,
I gotcha.
Car manufacturers, they may release concepts every couple of years. You know, just really trying to push that envelope, creation, get the juices flowing. I think Paul Pfeiffer is a visionary. He's doing the same thing.
Where does everybody park?
It'll never work. It's too many people.
It's a city.
Yes, like you're not getting a million. You're wasting time. There's no chance you'll fill a million person stadium.
That's what I say. Where does everybody park?
If you do it, let's say in South Florida, you could do that like in Homestead. There's just fields and fields and fields. You build a stadium, and then you just have so much land available, people park there.
But I would have to walk 6 miles to get to the stadium is my point.
Yeah.
No. You hire a bunch of those guys on the bikes with the
rickshaw. Yeah.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah, rickshaws.
They're a little too aggressive for me. I don't like riding on the back of them things.
All right. Anything else, Solana?
Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Accident Attorney Weather Center. Call 24/7 866-954 more. Right now, sunny, not cloudy, very hot, around 85. To 88 degrees currently in Miami. Tonight, the lows will drop it in the mid-70s. That's your weather.
There you go. Len, our program director, just sent us a couple pictures of Harry Carey in the bleed.
He was naked? He used to broadcast naked?
I mean, just hammered. What great memories. Great memories. Yes. Anyway, Paul Severino, Marlins broadcaster for Bally Sports. He's going to be in the stands on Friday, but he's going to join us. Marlins play tonight. He'll join us in the next segment.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Hey, I'm going to go get some corn nuts.
Some what?
Hawk and Crowder.
Paul Severino is going to join us here. He's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He's the television play-by-play man for the Miami Marlins on Bally Sports Florida. Nice 9-8 victory over the Rockies last night. They play again tonight, 6:40 p.m. First pitch. They've got a nooner tomorrow, Crowder. Nobody's going to complain about a nooner. And then Friday, they welcome the first-place Mets to Lone Depot Park. But here's what we were talking about, Paul. So you and Tommy Hutton are going to broadcast the game from the stands on Friday. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. Good to talk with you guys again. I'm looking at the ballpark right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about 7 rows back from home plate. So we're gonna be amongst the folks And we're going to have a great view of Sandy pitching on Friday night, too. So we're looking forward to that.
But let me ask you this. So I was just telling Crowder and Solana in the last segment, when I was growing up in Chicago, a couple times a year, Harry Carey would do Cubs games from the bleachers in Wrigley. And I was trying to explain to Crowder and Solana, who've never been there, I mean, the bleachers at Wrigley, I mean, that could turn into Lord of the Flies back in the 70s and 80s when I was a kid there.
Wild. And yeah, it's a wild spot, sure.
By the seventh inning, Harry Carey had his shirt off. He had like seven empty Bud Lights in front of him. He was sloshed. He was sunburned. What are the chances Friday night you and Tommy are in that kind of shape?
They are 100% that happens as long as between now and Friday night at 6:40, that I am regarded as one of the great characters of baseball history, and that Will Ferrell does an impersonation of me on Saturday Night Live, and that my son and grandson and great-grandsons now are in the broadcasting industry. So if all of that happens by Friday at 6:40,
by Friday, yes,
which, I mean, how much time do you need? Then yes, then absolutely I will behave like Harry Carey. Now, if that for some strange reason doesn't happen, then I will probably just stick to coconut water and coffee and keep my articles of clothing
on. The shirt is staying
on? Yeah, okay. But if you come through and meet those requirements, done.
Fair enough.
Paul, it doesn't seem fair, Paul. Harry had all that fun. Y'all have to be buttoned up now. When did it go wrong?
Yeah, when did it change?
I don't know. And my favorite line is, I just work here. I don't know. It's a different time. And, you know, honestly, though, I mean, there's Harry. There's, you know, Hawk Harrelson, right, another Chicago guy. I think for the masses, those guys are better in small doses. And they're individuals. They kind of broke the mold when they made those guys. And if 30 broadcasts or 60, if you want to include the radio, if we all turned into Harry Carey's and Hawk Harrelson's and stuff like that, then it wouldn't be as special when those guys kind of pop up.
Yeah, I mean, it was when I was growing up in Chicago, Harry Carey originally was doing the White Sox games when I was a kid. It was on Channel 32. It was Harry Carey and Jimmy Pearsall, who was a character. And then, he went to the Cubs games. And, man, I mean, I have such great memories of getting home from school and turning on, you know, usually get home time for maybe like the seventh inning and just watching the last couple innings with Harry Carey. You look forward to it, though? Do you like the broadcast from the stands?
I do. It's different. I'm blessed, right? I'm fortunate. I get to watch a baseball game every day in, you know, all the different ballparks. And for the most part, it's all the same view. It's a great view. I've got the best office in the world as far as I'm concerned. But it's great to see the game from a different perspective. And even though I watch baseball every day, like I said, and even though I'm down on the field for batting practice and on the planes with these guys and everything else, when you see a game action, I'm not talking about batting practice, I'm talking about game action. When you see game action from six or seven rows behind home plate, the game is different. Even as someone who's in the ballpark every day, it's different. And if you're lucky enough at some point, somehow, some way to get down in the lower bowl and get really close and watch the game, there's two things that always fascinate me, right, as a baseball fan. Not as a broadcaster, but as a baseball fan, is what I just said. The game, the speed of the game is at a different pace, right? But also just the symphony of everything else that happens around the game, right? Even the littlest things, and maybe I'm just a baseball junkie and a huge fan of it, but even just the way that everything works, right? The bat boys that come out and have to pick up the stuff in between innings for the on-deck circles and in between foul balls, they're bringing balls out to the umpire. And the umpires in between innings and the ground balls in between. Like, it's all of the little things at a baseball game that you just see everybody has a place to be and a job to do every single second, every single pitch. outside of the players that are on the field. And it really is amazing to see that and to appreciate it and see it all up close and personal. It's really cool to see. And if for those folks that do go to a lot of games in the course of a season, I would encourage you as those fans to watch away from the ball every once in a while. You know, watch how the infield, especially for the kids, watch how the infielders get set before every pitch, how the outfielders get set slightly differently before every pitch. Watch the umpires, how they're, as soon as the ball is fouled off, they're asking for, give me four, give me six, however many balls they want. You know, all those different things. Watch the grounds crew. It's the whole thing is, I'm sorry, I just get excited about that kind of stuff.
That's cool. It is. Oh. It's like a symphony.
Yeah. No, the passion is the awesome, Paul. Is there any concern being down there? Some unruly fan or something crazy? Like, what do y'all have to talk about before it happens, just in case?
Well, you guys know me well enough to know that I travel with security no matter where I go. So I'm good. I'm insulated. But no, I mean, listen, fans are down there. They're great. And, it's always fun. I was a mediocre high school baseball player. So if there's a pop-up behind home plate, I'll probably get hit in the head with it or something, but it's all good.
Tommy Hutt,
no,
but no,
it'll be fun. We've done it a couple of times. We've done it down the right field line a couple of times. We've done it in AutoNation Alley in left center field a couple of times too. So it's awesome to see the different perspectives that the fans see, number one, but also just to explore the different parts of the ballpark and see the different areas where there's a heartbeat going on around as the game is going on.
Paul Severino is with us. You can watch him tonight, Marlins broadcaster, Bally Sports Florida, tonight, 6:40, first pitch. And then again, it's a nooner tomorrow. And then Friday is when Paul will be broadcasting on Bally Sports Florida from the actual stands. And you mentioned Sandy Alcantara will be pitching on Friday night. I was watching your broadcast over the weekend. You had Kim Ng on, and you asked her similar question, which is like, when you see Sandy Alcantara, I'm not going to ask you what you asked her, which is who does it remind you of, although you could answer that if you want. But what do you see? You were very, very descriptive there talking about the ballpark. What do you see as a baseball fan when Sandy Alcantara is pitching?
I will say that I compare him to a younger Justin Verlander in the sense that he gets better and finds a little bit more in the tank as the game goes on, and he's an old school guy. So what do I see? I piggybacking on that, I see a guy that you could lift out of 2022 and drop into 1972, and he would be probably better than a lot of the pitchers there because of his stuff. But in terms of the makeup of today's my day to pitch, and I'm the only one in this uniform that's going to pitch today, I think is something that across the sport right now, for whatever reasons, we've gotten away from. And he is the kind of guy, and there's probably only really a handful of guys that want to and can do those two things. I think that those two, the want to pitch nine innings and the can pitch nine innings are, mutually exclusive there. I think that he's built for that. And because, he could, right? Like, he's done it. He did it earlier this year, 14 strikeouts. He can just straight up dominate a lineup on a given day and just swings and misses from now until eternity and rack up the strikeouts. But that's not really his game, his goal. His goal is nine innings. He wants to finish what he starts. And if that means an eight-pitch first inning with three ground ball outs, he's fine with that. And that's okay with everybody, I think, because at the end of the day, it's about getting outs. And it's not, strikeouts are great. And like I said, if there's a day that he racks them up, tremendous. But I think that if you ask them, hey, would you rather go six innings and strike out 15, or would you rather strike out five in a complete game, he would take option B 10 times out of 10. And I think that, again, it's not meant as any disrespect to anyone in the Marlins bullpen, but there's been a lot of times where, it's crunch time in the game. It's the seventh, it's the eighth, it's the ninth inning, it's a close game. Who's your best option? Sandy Alcantara at 105 pitches or somebody out of the bullpen? Because I can tell you what, you could you could have Sandy on the mound, right? I've said something like this before on the air. You could have Sandy pitching, right, through eight innings. He hasn't given up a run. He's going great. And you could go out to the bullpen and grab Nolan Ryan. You can grab Christy Mathewson. You can grab Cy Young out of that bullpen. And the opposing offense doesn't care who it is as long as it's not Sandy, right? And we've seen that a lot on both ends. You know, whenever a guy is just dominant on a certain day, if the team, if that pitcher's team goes to the bullpen, the other offense is like, thank God he's gone. We have a chance now. And so many times, maybe it's just a little hit here or a walk there or a misplay, and now all of a sudden there's a rally, and you got the starting pitcher who's been nailed that day is just watching the game slip away. So, again, no disrespect to the Marlins bullpen, but Sandy with 105 pitches at, you know, maybe 87% of his best is still better than a lot of guys pitching in baseball today.
And it's funny, Paul, you brought up Cy Young. Is there a chance we're looking at any kind of Cy Young performances?
I think so. He's in the driver's seat, and I think part of it is not just the ERA, right? I don't think that it boils down to one number for Sandy, but you know, you could put the ERA and you can piggyback it with the innings. And I think that that right now, listen, there's a lot of baseball left. We're a little over 3 months left in the season, but I think he's the front runner. And you know, maybe I have a horse in the race. I see him pitch every 5 days, but you know, I think he's the front runner. Maybe at this point now, it's not too bold, but I had a bold prediction back in the spring that he'd finish top three in the Cy Young vote. You know, I think that he put numbers together last year. He was on a short list of guys with 200 innings and 200 strikeouts. And you know, I think part of it is just the national attention that the Marlins do not get. Part of it was as good as Corbin Burnes and company were last year. I think it's all a mixture of those things. So I'm thankful that Sandy's getting the national attention right now as an individual. I, you know, hope that the Marlins, you know, rack up more wins and get more national attention as a club. But for the purposes of this discussion, for Sandy, I'm glad that he's out there nationally. I'm still pulling for him to start the All-Star game. I think that getting to the All-Star game is an unbelievable honor. He's been there already. This could potentially be his second time. But to start the All-Star game is on a whole other level, and I think that he's done enough to deserve that. You know, he's got to keep it up for however many more starts he's going to have, 3, 4, 5, however many days we have left until the All-Star break. But I mean, you ask me right now, I think he should start the game.
Yeah, and Jazz Chisholm, he leads second baseman right now in All-Star voting in the NL, right? Is he far and away?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a national profile. He's got a great look. Is he far and away Marlins fans' favorite player from what you see?
Position player, yeah. I mean, I think so. You know, I mean, every night we do the youth player of the game, and you know, 9 times out of 10, it's this kid's 7 or 8 years old. He's a catcher, and his favorite player is Jazz Chisholm. Oh, this kid's 12 years old, and he's a shortstop. His favorite player is Yeah. I mean, they love him, and he's got a dynamic skill set of power and speed. And all of that stuff, and he's fun to watch. And I forget if we talked about this last time or not, but I'll bring it up again. I mean, you know, whether it's home or away or whatever it is, he's always signing autographs. I mean, he understands his stardom, his popularity, and he's gracious with his time. He's signing autographs for kids before and after games. And you know, there's a few times where I'm worried that he's going to be late for the bus to the airport on a getaway day because he's out signing autographs a half hour after the game. We usually leave an hour, and I'm pretty sure we won't leave without him, but you know, we want to get home sometime. But he's out there. And like I said, he's gracious with his time, and he gets it.
Is he going to be like the Tatises? My son plays baseball, and he loves all the players, but Acuña Jr. and Tatis are his two favorite. Like, is Jazz up there with them? Is he going to be this guy in 10 years? We're still watching dominate baseball.
If he's in a Marlins uniform, I hope so. Yeah, you know, like as long as I'm here, I hope that he's here for a long time because he's fun to watch. You know, I mean, I think that he's got the personality for that for sure. And you know, I think if you asked around, the only thing, I'm not even going to call it an issue or a problem, but the only thing would just be you know, finding more consistency, right? You know, and being the guy who's going to consistently give you whatever average you want. You want 270, you want 280. You know, he's got the power and the speed. It's just a matter of, you know, like this month, for example, right? Like it really feels like all of his hits have been home runs. So you look at the home runs, great, fantastic, awesome. But there are other times, too, where a base hit the other way or, you know, that's what the team needs, not necessarily a two-run home run. We were in New York the other day, and it was a big spot late in the game, and I was working with Rod Allen, and I said, Rod, you and I both know, and Jazz knows, he can tie this game with one swing of the bat, but can he be thinking that right now? And Rod said, absolutely not. Now it's just about keeping the line moving. So, you know, I talk a lot about situational hitting with Miguel Rojas, right? And I love Miggy, but Miggy's, you know, skill set is different than Jazz's, right? There's a lot more power in Jazz's game. But, you know, we saw him the other day in New York not swing out of his shoes. And what happened? Double down the left field line. Little base hit to left field. Like, if you get 600 at-bats in a season, the great ones hit 40. So what are you doing with the other 560 at-bats? And that was a perfect example of what he can do. He doesn't have to hit home runs every time to be a great player. He can hit one the other way. He can drive in an insurance run and late in the ball game with just a base hit the other way. And, you know, the more of that you see, the higher the average goes, the higher the on-base percentage goes. And then the home runs that are going to come because he's, you know, a dynamic, powerful hitter, that those are going to be cherries on the top.
Paul Severino, watch him tonight, Bally Sports Florida. Watch him tomorrow if you're in the mood for a nooner, and who isn't. And then Friday, he will be in the stands at Lone Depot Park as the first place Mets are in town. Always a pleasure, Paul. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime, gentlemen.
There you go. Paul Severino from Bally Sports. Someone had texted in. We have such a good crew of play-by-play broadcasters in South Florida. You know, you got Paul Goldie's going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour. Eric Reed is excellent on the Heat games. Like, there's really there's a good crew down here.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
There is no instance where you would ever say too much cheese.
Hawk and Crowder.
All right, the 4 o'clock hour is coming up just a few minutes, and Steve Goldstein, Goldie's going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour. I enjoyed talking with Paul Severino in the last segment. I'm thinking that maybe Goldie and Moeller oftentimes is down, you know, in between the benches on Panthers broadcast. But what if Goldie and Moeller just did a broadcast, you know, behind the glass on the turn one night? That would be fun.
It'd be fun. I think it's a little too intense down there, though. That's hockey, baby.
I think it'd be fun. Anyway, Goldie will join us, and he will give us his opinion on the Florida Panthers coaching change, which is the big news of the day, and then we will also get his opinion on onion rings, because today is National Onion Rings Day, and how would you not get Goldie's opinion on that? So we have a lot of stuff to get to this afternoon. Crowder and I, we both use a product called Athletic Greens, and I know I love the idea of putting just one scoop of delicious tasting Athletic Greens in a glass of water every day, because with that one scoop, you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens, and it'll get your day started right.
And like you said, Hawk, it's so easy. All I do, I put one scoop of AG1 in my water bottle, and I drink it on the way to the studio. The Athletic Greens support the health, gut, the nervous system, immune system, plus the energy and focus.
And
it's all the things we want, bro.
By the way, Athletic Greens is lifestyle friendly. So whether you're gluten-free like me or vegetarian like Crowder or vegan or dairy-free, keto, paleo, Athletic Greens is perfect for any diet.
And to save a little money, one scoop of Athletic Greens is cheaper than getting all those different supplements that on their own now. One scoop of AG1 is like investing all in one nutritional insurance.
Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. And so to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/WQAM. Again, it's athleticgreens.com/WQAM, and that'll begin your ownership over your health and pick the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Finally, guys, Yoplait is selling a new line of yogurt.
It's Yoplait. Are you joking? It's Yoplait. You don't know how to pronounce Yoplait yogurt?
Yoplait is selling a new line of yogurt.
Get to weather, jackass.
Hawk and Crowder.